Our scripture comes from Revelation chapter 10 today. Smile, Jesus loves you.
Amen.
Amen. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, surrounded by a cloud, a rainbow over his head, his face like the sun, his legs like fiery pillars. And he had a little scroll open in his hand. He put his right foot on the sea and his left on the land. And he cried out with a loud voice like a roaring lion. When he cried out, the seven thunders spoke. In the days of the sound of the seventh angel, when he will blow his trumpet, then God's hidden plan will be completed. And I was told, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings.
Can't you feel him inhabiting our praise? He's here, lost in his embrace. Wrapped in mercy, he is all you ever need. God is in this place. Darkness has to leave. God is in this place. We are surrounded by His grace. Feel the come to earth today. You will never be the same. God is in this place. God is in this place. God is in this place.
Well, I'd like to share with you briefly this morning a message from Revelation chapter 10, if you would turn there in your Bibles. It might help to fill in some of the gaps in the reading. It's not a very long chapter. It's just 11 verses. But I want us to look at it. I think this is a chapter that is often overlooked. It doesn't really fit the chronological movement of the book. And so we might think, well, where does it really fit in? Why do we really need it? Well, I'm going to share with you why I believe we need this 10th chapter. Now, it's about a mighty angel. There has been a lot of ink spilled over who this mighty angel is. Well, I'm going to tell you who I believe the mighty angel is. in just a moment. But I want us to look there at what it says in the opening verses of the 10th chapter. It describes this mighty angel surrounded by a cloud, it says, and a rainbow was over his head. His face was like the sun. His legs were like fiery pillars. He had a little scroll in his hand. And he had his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. Now, I thought about putting a picture up there. I didn't really care for the artist picture. It depicted this angel with wings. Well, it doesn't say wings, does it? Unless you have a revised, perverted version of the Bible. It doesn't say wings. It does say angel, though. So I suppose some would say, well, you know, this is the Word of God. When it says angel, it must mean angel. I personally believe that this is the Lord Jesus Christ, and it could be no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Just think about it. And we're going to be thinking about that for just a moment. What the description is of this mighty angel that we are presented with in Revelation chapter 10, and why we need this chapter at this particular juncture. Now, this is what is called a parenthesis in the book of Revelation, because it seems to kind of take us aside from the progression of events that are depicted. Well, you're familiar in watching movies and seeing flashbacks in movies. This is kind of like that, except it's not a flashback to the past. It's kind of a pause in the action, but it's a very important pause here, a very important parenthesis, if you will, because it introduces us to, first of all, the person, the mighty angel. Now, again, the clothing, a cloud. Now, that calls to my mind our Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Do you remember that He took Peter and James and John up on this mountain? We don't know exactly where it was. Some believe it must have been Mount Hermon, or it says an exceeding high mountain. And it says that the Lord was enveloped in a cloud. And out of the cloud came a voice. He was talking, Jesus was, to Moses and Elijah. Peter never lacked for anything to say. And so he blurted out, well, Lord, it's good for us to be here because we can let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Then a voice came out of the cloud that really silenced Peter, which wasn't easy to do, but something like that would. It would silence anybody. The voice said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." They saw no man, it says, but Jesus only. Well, I think of that. I think of also do you remember as the Israelites went through the wilderness, there was a cloud that guided them by day, the Bible says, a pillar of cloud. Well, I think that the symbolism here is very unmistakable to me, that this cannot just be an ordinary angel, but the Lord Himself, His countenance, face like the sun. I think of Paul on the Damascus Road, describing Jesus in these very same words, and His control, His right foot on the sea, and His left foot on the land. And of course, His legs like fiery pillars. Does that not call to our mind the pillar of fire by night? I think this is no ordinary person. I believe that this is our Lord Jesus Christ. And He has a possession, this person does. And that possession is a little book, a scroll. And I suppose it was little because He was so big. I think we too often only see Jesus according to the flesh. We see Him in His weakness. We see Him in His humiliation. And we should, because God became a man, because He wanted to get down on our level. And so He sent Jesus to be our Savior. And of course, that wasn't all. The main purpose was to die on the old rugged cross for our sins. The depth of His humiliation. But here we see a different Jesus, much like the image that John gave of Jesus, or the picture in the first chapter of this book of Revelation. The possession of the sea and the land, too. Not just this book. But He had one foot on the sea. It says His right foot on the sea and His left foot on the land. It reminds me of Jesus when He went back to heaven. Do you remember He said, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." So there is power in this description. His voice was like a roaring lion. And I'm reminded of what it said back in Revelation chapter 5. When, do you remember John said that there was this book? And he said it had seven seals. And no one was found in heaven and in earth that could open that book with seven seals. But then he saw a lamb standing in the midst of the throne. He was the one who could open those seven seals. So I believe that this is our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we need this? Well, I think we need to know that we serve a great God. He's not a weakling. He's not these events that are happening today, and which are just harbingers of the terrible time of tribulation that is going to come upon the earth. Thank God. I believe in a rapture. I mean, not just that I believe in, but thank God that there is a rapture. And we will be caught up. The Bible says, Jesus said to the church of Philadelphia, I will keep you out of the hour of tribulation that will come upon the earth. Ek is the Greek word, which means out of. I don't know why the translators don't translate it that way. But that's what it means. He's going to take us out. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. Make that very clear. But his voice, like a roaring lion. And when John was weeping, because no one could open that book with seven seals, one of the elders, of the 24 elders around the throne, said, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. So that's a description. A little bit about the description. I want to encourage you to study it more. The more I study the book of Revelation, the more I want to know. Now, there are some things that we're not given to know, and we're going to speak of that in just a moment. But there's a declaration here as well. We can learn from the declaration of this mighty angel. First of all, there's a sound in that declaration. Here it says, when he spoke, and his voice was like a lion, and there were seven thunders. When he cried out, it says right before that, the seven thunders spoke with their voices. Have you ever wondered what the seven thunders are? And have you ever wondered why God said to seal up those words? Apparently God, but it was a voice that came from heaven. I think that there was judgment. Thunder is always, I believe I could prove that in Scripture, symbolic of the judgment of God. And I love what John Newton wrote. You know, does anybody remember John Newton? You may have known a John Newton, maybe not the same one that wrote Amazing Grace. John Newton was the author of Amazing Grace. Well, he wrote another hymn, not so well known. I suppose Amazing Grace is the most famous hymn there is. But he wrote another hymn that was entitled, Let Us Love, Sing, and Wonder. And I want to read to you just a stanza of this hymn, because I think John got it. I think he understood what God's Word was teaching here. He said, Let us love, sing, and wonder. Let us praise the Savior's name. He has hushed the law's loud thunder. He has quenched Mount Sinai's flame. He has bought us with His blood. He has brought us home to God. And I think that that really summarizes what the reason was, why John was instructed not to write these things down. Because these are the judgments of God, these seven thunders. But there, you know, we still, that doesn't keep us from wondering what these thunders said. I was reading in H.A. Ironside's fine book on the lectures of Revelation, lectures on the book of Revelation. I would recommend it highly to you. He asked, have you ever noticed how inquisitive people often are in regard to those things which the wisdom of God has purposely kept from them? Kind of like, you remember Paul was caught up to the third heaven. And he said, I heard things that were not lawful to speak. In other words, he was told not to say these things. Inquisitive people, like H.A. Ironside described them, still want to know. Well, we can't know. And why even try to know? All we can know, I think, is that, as I believe, that these were the representative of the judgment of God. And God, in His infinite wisdom, judgment is His uncommon work. And so for some reasons, hidden to us, God did not want John to write these down. But I think it was like what John Newton said. He has hushed the law's loud thunder. He has quenched, that is Jesus, has quenched Mount Sinai's flame. I love those words. I think that really well sums up why God decided not to let John reveal these thunders to us. There's a surety. He swore with uplifted hand. This is the only time in the Bible that I can think that that Jesus ever swore. In fact, not swore in the sense of profanity. You'll understand that. But he swore by the name of the one above that there would be time. There would no longer be an interval of time, this says. I think, you know, I kind of like the simpler translations. I think really what he was saying is there's no more delay. What God is going to do, He is going to do with speed. You know, we think, well, you know, God has all of eternity behind Him. What's the hurry? Well, because God wants to, I think, shorten the time of, that's going to be a terrible time upon this earth called the Great Tribulation. We see a glimpse even in this into the tender heart that God has for people. So there's a declaration that we can learn from. There's a directive. If we could look at verses 8 through 11, just skipping down to verse 10 there, John talks about this little scroll. And he went, and great boldness, he said, "Give me the scroll." I don't know whether I could have done that, but I think he said it respectfully. And he was commanded to do that. So he said, "Give me the scroll." And he said, "I took the little scroll and ate it. And it became sweet as honey in my mouth, but bitter in my stomach." I don't know whether you've eaten anything that's sweet as honey in your mouth, but bitter in your stomach. But I think probably we all, you know, have some recollection like that where we ate something that just really tasted wonderful and then our stomach turned sour afterward. I want us to try to understand what this is saying. I believe that the book is again, these are the words of H.A. Ironside. I really like H.A. Ironside's book and his perspective on Revelation. He said that he believed that this book is none other than the seven sealed book, the same seven sealed book. That is the title deed to the earth. Now again, the mighty angel is holding this in his hand. He said the seals of this book have been broken one after another until the entire scroll is seen unrolled. And I believe that actually we really have that in the scriptures. Now maybe there are some things that were written on that book that God did not see fit to reveal to John. It was written on the backside and on the front too. But we have all that God wants us to know. We have it in our possession. We have what John, what was revealed to John and what he was to pass on to us. The Bible is a prophetic book that sometimes brings bitterness. And I think of Ezekiel's experience, very similar to this. He said he was given a scroll, apparently the words of Scripture, and he said to eat it. And eat, of course, is a symbolic way of saying that we are to ingest it. We are to take it into our life. Did not Jesus say that we are to live by the every word that proceeds from the mouth of God? But, you know, we have this kind of a misconception that everything that we read in the Bible is happiness and light. It's not. We need these kind of dark prophetic chapters because it shows such a contrast to the love and the light of God. God wants to bring us through the darkness of this world. Now, not through the tribulation. I don't believe that. I believe as Christians we will be lifted out. Because this is going to be a terrible time. This is going to be a time when the wrath of God is poured out. We're going to look at the seven vials that are poured out, the wrath of God that is poured out upon the earth. Now, who could believe that God would want His chosen people who have made a covenant of faith with Him to endure this terrible time of judgment upon the earth? I don't believe that. I believe in what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that there will be a trumpet sound of the Lord, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And you may believe otherwise. I'm going to give you a wink when we're going up. It's going to be hard for me not to say I told you so. It'll happen. A business. John's business is our business, isn't it? To tell others. Didn't he say that? You know, John probably thought, you know, now I'm in heaven, I'm going to stay here. He had a job to do, didn't he? And God has a job for us to do. In Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20, Jesus said, "All authority, all power is given unto me and in heaven and in earth." Now that was when Jesus was still on earth, but he was in a resurrected body. And we hadn't yet seen him as we see him in this 10th chapter. But is it not the same person? I have to believe it is. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." May we take these words to heart. And may we share the truth of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, with our dark world.
Sacrifice my open heart.
And I will be complete in